Let's take ourselves back then to that first early morning, the resurrection of Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. I don't know what you do to remember things. Are you a post-it kind of person that has post-its all over the place? Or can you perhaps even remember a time when you really forgot something important that you should have remembered? I can't even tell you about that time when I forgot something with the kids because my wife is here and she'll kill me if she finds out about it now. But you can forget the most important things sometimes in life, and it can be a real struggle to remember. And so what we're doing when we put a date in the calendar, like Resurrection Sunday and Holy Week, is to remember. But as we'll see through this passage, God wants to do something more than a passive remembrance, but something that's very active, dynamic, encountering, changing. And you see that with these people who went to see Jesus. So I'm going to ask if the slide can go up for the message, and you'll see there, there's a danger in life when you have the wrong expectations. And you see that with the people that first came looking for the body of Jesus. But then you can see where forgetfulness leads you, but also where remembering in an active and the right way can lead you. And I think we'll learn all of these things from this passage. Go back to that moment. Here's a group of people who were blinded by their expectations of what they thought was going to happen. You know how it's like in life. If you've already convinced yourself what's going to happen, that's what you expect, that's what you look for. It's almost what you see sometimes. And that's what happened for these people. And you got to remember that as you read this story, as we watch it happening again, remember, you know more than they knew on that morning. This group of women that went to the tomb to show the respects to the body of Jesus, they weren't going expecting him to be alive. They really thought he was still dead. And after 2,000 years of telling this story, we're so familiar with it that we just forget for a moment. Would we have been any different? If you were there, would you have gone expecting a risen Jesus? No, you'd have gone expecting a corpse. You really would have thought, he's dead. Game over. That's it. All we can do is kind of show our respects and grieve. And this is despite the fact that during his lifetime, and we've been looking at this over the last few weeks, three times Jesus had told his followers, I am going to be put on trial, I am going to be found guilty, I'm going to be put to death, and I'm going to rise again. Three times he told his followers that. Yet despite the warnings, because the power of expectation is so great in life, you can completely fail to remember the important things. And they fail to remember that Jesus had said what he said. And even when the angel speaks to them, what does the angel say? Remember, he's already told you this is all going to happen. But you see, that's the power of expectation, isn't it, in life? If you have expectations like that, that could be the wrong expectations. If you are, for example, you've got a call to, you're picking up some friends, some family coming to visit you here in Tampa, and you go down to the airport. And let's say it won't be friends or family for this illustration. It'll have to be somebody you haven't seen before, but you're to pick them up, business or something like that. And you don't really know what they look like. Maybe you got an expectation, and there could be crowds of people coming through the terminal. And you almost miss them because you expected them to look a certain way. Maybe you'd spoken to them on the phone and You know what it's like? You hear a voice on the phone, you have an expectation of what the person looks like. And then when you see them in reality, they're entirely different and you get shocked. And it maybe it's like that. See, that's the power of expectations. If you don't expect something, you don't kind of see something. Every husband here will know that reality. When you're told by your wife to go into the kitchen and that thing that she's looking for is on that shelf, and go and get it, and you open the cupboard, and you're convinced it's somewhere else in the house, and you look at it, and it's not there. And you turn right, it's not there. And of course, you know what happens next. She comes along, and she opens it up, and she puts her hand straight in and pulls it out, because it was there. But you had your expectations, so you were blinded. We're always like that. So expectations can blind you. And so it was with these people as they came to look for Jesus. And in life, you're going to find the same. When we're dealing on a day like today about stories of dead men rising from the dead, we're clearly challenging people to think about the supernatural, the reality and the existence of God, to really step outside of your view of the world and step inside the Christian view of the world and have a look at it from there and see if it actually makes more sense than your view of the world. And as you do that, this reminds us of the challenge of overcoming our expectations. Because if you have the wrong expectations in life, it can make it really hard for you to see what's actually happening right in front of your nose, of people's lives being changed, of the reality of God, of His work in your life, all of these things. And very often when God wants to get our attention, because we've got our expectations, maybe your expectation is, well, if there's a God, he's going to be a million miles away from my life. Or maybe there isn't a God at all. These are all expectations that can really put blinders, make it hard for us to see God in our lives. As believers, we do that all the time. You have your expectations of what God will or will not do. And sometimes it can blind you to the most amazing moments, make you slow to see what God is actually doing. These women believed. They were believers. But yet they were slow to see what was really happening. In fact, it'll lead you to being confused. And that's what happened there. It tells us that all of these things were confusing them to some degree. So if you have these expectations, you can become a bit blinded to what God is ready to do in your life. So the challenge of this story is really saying to us, park them to the side. Be open to maybe there are more things going on in this world than you've figured out to date. And then maybe you'll begin to discover what God is doing. But for these women, it wasn't just their expectations by themselves. They were based on the past, after all. They had seen Jesus die. They knew he was buried in that tomb over there. Those were facts. But they were now being limited to the past rather than remembering his promises. He said 3 times that he would come to life again. 3 times. And here's the first part of what he said. I will die. Well, that happened. I will be buried. Yeah, that's happened. Tick. So why not tick the next box? And he will be alive from the dead. What does that say about human nature? What does that say about us? God doing miracles, pulling off spiritual fireworks displays here, and we still don't get it. Because there's something wrong with us. Not because there's something wrong with God. And here they were quite literally blinded by their past experience. So they couldn't grasp hold of the promises. Don't make that mistake. Maybe you've had a negative experience of God or religion in the past, or church. But don't let your past limit you to receiving the promise that is today. That there is a newness of life. We actually can become like a new person, a new creation, because the significance of the resurrection of Jesus is that connected to people? Because you die in him, you rise again in him. There's a spiritual transformation pictured here and released because of what happened here 2,000 years ago. So don't be limited by any past experiences. Open yourself up now to the promises of God. Listen, pray, ask. Even if you're not sure God exists, but you actually are intrigued, it's very simple, then pray. Say, God, I don't even know if I'm speaking to anybody here right now, but if you do exist, I really, really need you to show me that you're real. That is not a hard prayer for God to answer, believe me. For many people in this building, you've had that prayer answered all kinds of different ways. It'll be between you and God how he answers that, because it'll be appropriate for you. So the expectations, we can be blinded by our expectations. And if that's the case, then you end up, like these women, taking wrong steps. They were going in the wrong direction, in a sense. They were taking thinking in the wrong way. Because they had forgotten what Jesus had said. Because they had forgotten what he had said, because they failed to remember what he had said, why were they going there? Why were they going to that tomb? Just because of a memory. Just because of what had happened in the past. They'd loved this Jesus. They'd spent 3 years or so with him. And that memory was precious to them. Jesus meant so much to them. And that was their reason for going. They weren't going to have an encounter with him. Should have been. He told them, going to be alive. But they didn't believe. They didn't remember. You see, it's good to have good memories, even about religious things. It's not enough. Maybe some of you had very positive experiences of church when you were a kid. Maybe you even felt closer to God when you were a kid than you've ever done in your adulthood. It's not enough. Where are you now? God has an encounter for you today. So they came with their memories. They came, obviously, with the respects. That was part of it. Jesus was so significant. That's obvious 2,000 years later. He's changed human history in so many ways. But they wanted to show the respects. That's where the spice was being brought. Roll away the stone, get to the body, put the spice on. They hadn't had time to do all that before. That would be a sign of their love and their respect being shown to the corpse. Well, if our expectations aren't right, we might do things. You might even come to church today, and it might even be with a memory from childhood, and it might even be with a respect for the things of God. But he wants you to have an encounter. So it's not enough. It's not enough to come even respectfully, respecting the traditions, respecting the faith of that you maybe you were once brought up with. That's all good, but there's more. You see it? There's more. They got a lot more than they bargained for that day, didn't they? Instead, because of these misdirected expectations, they came focused not on a possibility or the hope of an encounter. They came only focused on the hurdles. Now, Luke didn't record it for us, but our little video recorded it from Mark's account of the resurrection, that the women were actually having a discussion. Because this was a huge rounded stone that we rolled over these cave entrances. And they said, we're just not going to be able to move this thing. We need somebody. Who's going to move the stone? They were more focused upon the hurdles, the barriers in their path, in their way at that moment in their life, than they were on the possibility of an encounter with the risen Christ. Why? Because they had forgotten. They failed to remember what he'd said. That stone would be rolled away because he would no longer be there, and the world needed to see that he wasn't there. So the stone was gone. But how easy it is to do that today. You come for a moment, come to pay respects, you've come with memories of an upbringing where all of this was maybe even more fresh and more real to you years ago than it is in your present life. And you're more focused upon the hurdles and the problems of your life. For some of you, you're even struggling to listen to the guy at the front because you're so preoccupied with what tomorrow is bringing. Amen? And some of you have probably got massive issues to deal with. To use the picture, even more immovable than a stone over a tomb. I tell you, my friends, if that stone could move, a stone like that moved even once in history, you know there's a God. You know that there's a power greater and bigger than you are. And you need to begin to see your little problems and your little hurdles in that bigger perspective, because compared to the existence of God, our issues really are minute. That's not to underplay the pain or the trouble of them for one second, but it's just to put them into perspective. Amen? So whatever you're facing in your life, look at that stone. Don't focus on it. Look at the fact that it moved. So whatever your hurdles that seem so immovable today, clearly, because of what happened then, God is saying to you now, there's nothing, nothing beyond my power. Because even the stone that covers death, that can be moved away. Even if you're contemplating your own death, even if you're facing your own death, this is the joy of this morning, isn't it? This is why we celebrate. Because death couldn't hold him. That means death isn't going to hold you. If you connect to this Jesus, if you have this encounter with the risen Christ today, when your day comes that you die and you must leave this world, you will do so free from fear because you've had the encounter today with this Jesus. So that's all coming together here. Don't focus on the hurdles, or you'll just go away like these women were. It tells you there, I think it was in verse 4, they were just confused with what was happening. Didn't expect to see the power of God. Despite the fact that Jesus had left all these sticky notes in the fridge saying, I will be back. But despite all that, despite these beings, angels, we believe, present there, it tells us that they were just wondering about all of this, confused, trying to make sense of why is the stone not there? Where's the body gone? What's happened? You'd think at that point they might remember that Jesus had told them this was all going to happen. But that says a lot about us as human beings. Will it change that day for them? May it change for you this morning? Because Christ is here speaking to you this morning. Because he loves you. And he's calling you to have this encounter just as real, just as personal as it was for these women. Nothing less will do. Nothing less will satisfy your heart. We can answer all your intellectual questions about resurrection and God's existence, but that won't be enough to change you. Your heart must have a personal encounter with the risen Christ. And then it begins to make sense. So maybe if you had the wrong expectations, you haven't had that yet, and that's why. So how do you get onto the right direction, the right path? Well, you see it with these women because something happens. Do you ever get people that in life you just want to give up on them sometimes? They frustrate you so much. They get to you so much. You just, forget it. I want to walk away. So all our relationships in life can do that. Your boss at work, whoever it is, and you just want to throw in a towel and walk away. You sometimes with people are so stubborn, you just want to give up on them, yeah? That's normal. Maybe we'll be tempted to think, project that onto God this morning. But what do you see here? There they are. The stone's moved away. There's no body there. Come on, remember. He told you this would happen. No? Okay, here's two angels that appear now. Listen to them. You see, God did not give up on them despite their confusion, despite their slowness to pick up on it. He persisted. He sent them another messenger. And it tells us here, two men gleaming like lightning. The women are afraid. They're bowing down. They speak to the women. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Remember. See, that was the love and the mercy of God. He just did not give up on them despite the fact that they're so slow to get it. Will you listen? Because God is sending you a message right now. He is. He's speaking to you right now. Your heart will understand it because it has the ring of truth in it. Listen. He's not giving up on you, at least not yet. This morning's another opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Because one day the opportunities will stop. But not this morning. Not right now. You can have an encounter with the risen Christ. How did that happen? Because suddenly then the women remembered. Verse 8, they remembered. You see, the truth hits. We've got it. Yeah. See, truth has a power, doesn't it? Truth speaks to us. If somebody says, I love you, it can change your life. Somebody says to you, I do, and they marry you, changes your life. Truth, when it hits, when people speak words and it comes into your soul. And suddenly these women heard these words and they knew it was true. Now, as you read it in that verse, did they meet Jesus at that point? Not quite. The other accounts give different angles and suggest that one or more of them did round about this moment. But then they remembered his words. And that is telling you that at that point they believed that Jesus was actually alive again. Amazing. And then what happens? They became, verse 9, eyewitnesses. You see, when the truth of God hits you, it's not the end. It's so that you are now impulsed, pushed out into this world to share this encounter with other people. Because suddenly you become the bearer of the greatest message in human history. God does not want you to keep that to yourself, my friend. You will discover your greatest purpose in life is to share that with others. And so these women became the first eyewitnesses and proclaimers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, there's a little line there that we can remember for those of you who might have questions, natural, understandable questions about, is this real history? Because you've got to answer that before you commit to something like Christianity. You really have to do your homework. It's a detail that it was the women who were eyewitnesses. That's interesting because women were mocked, as we saw later. They weren't listened to. They didn't have any legal standing in the courts, that their eyewitness accounts could not be accepted as evidence in the courts. why on earth would you invent a lie and then make four women the first eyewitnesses? That's a really dumb way to spread a lie. It's a fact. I mean, if you're going to tell a lie, you at least get some guys there because they were acceptable eyewitnesses. So the only reason that the women are the eyewitnesses was because the women were the eyewitnesses. They were there. They saw that. And Mark and Luke and John and all the rest, they couldn't play around with that. Interestingly, Paul doesn't say much about the women being eyewitnesses because, you know, a few years later, he probably understood, guys, people have a problem with that. Okay? But it's a fact. And it's there because the facts were the facts were the facts. That's what they believed. So I just put that as a little aside. It's interesting. And even as they're going in the right direction, God hasn't given up on them. They're remembering them. The truth hits them. They become eyewitnesses. They've still got to deal with something. What have they got to deal with at the end of this? They've got to deal with other people's unbelief now. When you have an encounter with Christ and he changes your life, suddenly you're going to discover that other people still don't get it. And it tells us in verse 10 that they go to the followers of Jesus. Now, remember these guys, there's 11 of them. They had been with him for 3.5 years. They'd seen the miracles, heard the teaching. They knew him. They loved him, all of that. And it tells us they did not believe. Talk about being really slow on the uptake. They did not believe despite the fact that the women were telling them this, that the women, plural, more than one eyewitness, despite the fact that it was a multiplicity of witnesses, they did not believe it, despite the fact that they knew the character of these women. They'd been with them for 3.5 years. Have they ever lied to you before, guys? No. Well, why do you think they're lying to you now? Despite all of these things, they did not believe. What does that say to you about human nature? We're stubborn in our unbelief. Yet despite all that, and then even despite the fact, where is it, verse 12, despite the fact that even Peter, the head honcho, runs off to the tomb, at least he does that, he runs to the tomb, and he looks in, it's empty, sees the strips lying there by themselves that had bound the body of Jesus, and what does it tell us? That he goes away believing, wondering to himself, what on earth has happened? Oh, come on, Peter. What does it take? We actually know another disciple went with him, John. When he saw, he actually did believe. But that's all that these women had to keep putting up with. What does it say about the human heart? How slow, how hard we are to believe. Don't let that be true of anybody here today. And be prepared for it when you go out of there today. And you walk into Monday morning, and you're so full of the joys of being in church on Sunday morning and celebrating the resurrection, and you want to share that with somebody over coffee in the work, and they just laugh in your face. Ha, you believe those fairy stories? Come on. Be prepared. But persevere. Because they too must have an encounter with this risen Jesus if they too will be able to face their death fearlessly. With freedom. So what you see here is there comes a day for these followers of Jesus when it all lines up and suddenly they get it. And they did. Later that day, they got it. But is this the day for you where it's all beginning to line up? That you're not here just out of respect, not just because of a memory from your childhood, but because you're now hearing the ring of truth and you're responding to it. And in this moment, you can have an encounter with the risen Christ right now. Then it all lines up. You get it. That's what you need. Every one of us, we need that when it all finally lines up. So if you really want to know what Easter is about, what Resurrection Sunday is all about, ask him now. for this encounter, that you might know truly that God is God, Christ is alive, and he bled and he died and he rose again for your forgiveness and your freedom. Amen. That's why we're here today, and that's our joy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we are here, Lord, maybe for all kinds of reasons, but we want to be like the women and even like the disciples were by the end of the day. We want that personal encounter with the truth of God. So, Lord, we pray that we'll look into this, we'll examine, we'll wrestle, and we'll listen. And we'll begin to discern what you're doing in our lives and begin to hear your Spirit speaking to our hearts, even right now. And we pray that for anybody who's never met you before, who's never had that encounter with the reality of God in Christ, they might have that now. Lord, speak to each one of us now. Meet with each one of us afresh. We know you, we love you, or we need to come to know you and love you. But may all of us go out that door in the company of Jesus of Nazareth, utterly alive to his living reality. Hear us, we pray, and we ask it for your glory amongst us. Amen.